Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Davina McCall has been on a mission to listen to women's stories about menopause and to share those stories, and indeed her own, with other women and with the partners and the children who live with them, along with medical specialist Dr. Naomi Potter. She's written a book called Menopausing, the Positive Roadmap to Your Second Spring. And Davina's on the line now. Davina, first of all, congratulations on the success of the book. I was checking all the bestseller lists this morning. It's flying for you.
Oh, thanks, Claire. No, I can't quite believe it. And on top of all of that, it's a book about the menopause. How brilliant is that?
But you know, I don't know. I know you say that people come and talk to you about the menopause all the time, which is what we would expect because you've been starting these conversations. But I think most of us find now that women are much more willing, aren't they, to talk about the menopause. It's been a real shift over the last 1-2 years.
I can't speak for everybody, but I can speak for myself when I say that I just found it an incredibly lonely place. I didn't feel able to speak to anybody about it because I felt so much shame around it. And I felt shame around the fact that I wasn't coping very well. I felt shame around the fact that I couldn't do my job anymore. I felt shame around the fact that I was behaving badly around my children. So sort of sometimes I'd be crying or sometimes I'd be shouting, and I was just all over the place, but I just didn't feel like I could talk to anybody about it because I felt like they would judge me for wanting a way out. You know, how can I help myself? Yeah. So I think there's a lot less shame wrapped up in it now, which is a good thing.
That story you tell at the beginning of the book about presenting a television show and just feeling really off and not being able to see the autocue, that must have been quite frightening.
Well, I mean, frightening because it was a live TV program, and scary. My father just recently had an Alzheimer's diagnosis, and I was there looking at Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen. He was a household name. I've grown up with him all my life. I'd literally said his name sort of 2 minutes before, and I was looking at him and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've just said your name, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it was. And then I just sort of was kind of pointing, going, so you, like, you know, just trying to kind of wing my way through it. But the producer even came up to me afterwards and said, are you okay? And I bluffed it off. Yes, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Yeah, I'm fine. And then she shut the door and I just crumpled and I thought, I'm not fine. What is wrong with me? I didn't even know that perimenopause was a word. I had no idea because my parents toughed it and my mum toughed it out. All my family were toughing it out. None of us were talking to each other. And I think the fear, when you don't know what's happening to you, makes everything that is happening to you much worse. So all of your symptoms increase when you're frightened. If you know what it is, then you can get a handle on it and start dealing with it.
Well, that's the key point, isn't it? And I know you said that you felt, oh my gosh, maybe I have something like Alzheimer's or some degenerative condition. And I was talking to a friend of mine who said that at one stage, before she went and got her HRT and all of her different help, that she was trying to think of the word radio, and she kept saying radiator to a client of hers, thinking, if I can't find the word for radio when I keep saying radiator, I need to not be doing my job. Like, that's a very scary place to be.
And I think the sad thing is, I was at an amazing event yesterday for women by women, and we were just discussing how this happens to us at an age where we've all been doing our jobs for quite a long time, and we love our jobs because we got really good at our jobs. And suddenly here comes something that makes us feel unsure of ourselves, a bit worried. We're making mistakes, which isn't like us. Maybe we might even be trying to cover up the mistakes, not talking to people because it ages us and it makes us think, or maybe they'll get rid of us because we feel disposable of, you know. And what's a shame is that is a massive drain on the economy, because if you lose a load, you know, 51% of us are women. If you lose all of those women who have spent all of those years in that career, who have all of that knowledge and help that you could mentor somebody younger with, that's a huge loss.
Mm-hmm. Can I talk to you about HRT?
Yes.
You were reluctant to start taking HRT, and then you were reluctant to tell your friends taking.
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, but well, I didn't want to take HRT because I felt in some way that I was going to fail, that I was failing at being a woman, that this was the most natural process in life. I'd had my babies at home. I had natural childbirth, and I'm not a kind of, I don't know, complete hippie or anything, but I do like to try and not put too many drugs in my body. Like, I like to try and be natural. And I felt like HRT was a drug and that I was in some way chasing youth, and didn't want to do that. And I wanted to tough it out like all those other amazing women before me. And then I just thought, you know what, I just can't do it anymore. And I went to try and get HRT. I was told by my GP that I was probably too young. I had hypothyroidism, which I now know makes you come into menopause early, perimenopause early. So I went privately, which I'm sad about, you know, but anyway, I did. And they said, no, you're definitely perimenopausal, and put me on HRT. And within 2 weeks, I had to play around with the progesterone a bit. It's not an instant fix by any means. And it's important to say that HRT doesn't suit everybody, but and there are so many different combinations that sometimes it can take up to a year to get the right combination to make you feel fabulous and get rid of your symptoms.
Mm-hmm. I think that's...
But mine alleviated quite quickly, and I couldn't believe it. I didn't tell my friends because I thought they'd judge me.
Mm-hmm. And did they?
No. I mean, what's been funny is that they did the opposite. You know, they said, hey, we're sad that you haven't told us how you're feeling. Are you okay? Like, what's it like? Tell us everything. And then I was like, oh, this is positive. Why did I not do this before?
Yeah, I think this is the scary thing is what you said there about, you know, it doesn't suit everybody. It's not instant. You've got to get it right. That means you've got to meet the right medical professional who's going to take the time with you to get you to the point where it is working.
Mm. I mean, I think there's a really good idea for doing, you know, you get postmortems. I think when it comes to your menopause, why don't you do a pre-mortem? Why don't you, before you are going to become perimenopausal, so if you're in your 30s and you're thinking, okay, so it's going to hit me in my 40s, I'm going to go to my GPs now, or the next time I go to my GP, and I'm going to say, who specializes in women's healthcare at your surgery? Like, who's the person that knows about that stuff? There should be one person at every GP surgery that knows a bit more about women's health and the perimenopause and menopause than the other doctors. And it could be a practice nurse. It could be anybody, but there should be. And if there isn't, then you've got 10 years to get one in there.
Mm-hmm. Because
and start campaigning maybe with other women at the surgery to try and get that to happen.
A lot of the women in your book, they tell you about being dismissed by GPs, and they tell you, perhaps more worryingly, that they've been prescribed medicine for depression.
Yes, well, one in four women have been prescribed antidepressants for menopause symptoms. And actually, in the NICE guidelines, which is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence, and these are the guidelines that the GPs follow, if a woman was to present with anxiety and depression, and she was 45 years old, and it was the first instance of depression that, you know, she hasn't struggled with it all her life. It's a new thing. The GP is advised by the NICE guidelines to prescribe the woman HRT before he tries antidepressants, because antidepressants will not work on menopausal or perimenopausal anxiety and depression. Because the only thing that helps that is hormones.
Yeah. I just wonder how, because you, I mean, we know you as the presenter, you know, and your lovely smile and the masked singer or whatever it is you're doing. How has this been for you, this sort of pivot into listening to people's stories and hearing about the people who are ignored by GPs perhaps or prescribed the wrong thing? What has that been like?
Well, firstly, I feel like we all have kind of purpose in life as women. And I feel sometimes, you know, in my youth, I felt like my purpose in life as a woman was to be a mother. Like I always had that in me. I know lots of women don't have that, but I absolutely did from like 5 years old. And after I'd had my children and as I headed into the perimenopause, I felt like I'd lost my purpose. But actually, we then become an important army of women that need to support each other, and we need to lift each other up, and we need to hold each other, because it can be, you know, for 75% of women, we suffer symptoms, but for 25% of women who are perimenopausal, they can be suicidal. And we need to support each other and make sure that no one feels alone or invisible or lost or unheard. And we're in it together, but it has given me a real sense of purpose.
A new purpose. Yeah.
Yes.
I was looking back, I was watching a documentary about Big Brother, I think, some time ago. And at one point you're walking down, you know when they're coming out, when somebody's being evicted, and you're heavily pregnant, and that, I think you had all of your children, didn't you?
Yeah, throughout. I did, all of them on Big Brother practically, yeah.
I mean, that, I just look at that and I go, how did you do that?
Yeah, that was mad. I mean, all my babies are born in September, because I was like, I am not going to not present Big Brother. No one else gets to present that show apart from me. So my poor husband, he was like, I was like, okay, go now. And unbelievably, you know, I got pregnant every time when I desired and had a baby in September so I could present the show all summer and then take time off to have a baby and then come back to the show the next year.
Oh, I mean, you talk about menopause being tough, but that's really hard going.
Yeah, it was fun though. I mean, it's funny, I'm just sat here looking at all my Big Mother t-shirts.
Yeah.
I've got them all framed. So it's quite funny.
Jen,
it was an amazing time of my life.
Jen is here saying that she just wants to thank you for creating such important awareness about menopause. And Elaine says, your book arrived in the post this morning. So she's sorted for the weekend.
Great.
Isn't that good news?
Enjoy.
Tell me about the medical side of this, because that's an important aspect to this. This is not just you talking about yourself or talking about your chats with other women. There's some really, really important, solid medical advice in here too.
Absolutely. So Dr. Naomi Potter is a lady that I found, interestingly, on Instagram. I just loved watching all of her reels and videos. And what I liked about it was, here was a healthcare professional that was really explaining all this quite complicated information in a really easy to digest way. So I thought, I want her in the book. The thing that I've learned to really love about Naomi, which I didn't necessarily know when I met her, is that she is extremely particular and pernickety, which is a good thing in this subject, about the correct facts, because this is an ever-moving feast, the perimenopause and menopause, and there is new information coming out all the time, and I've never met anybody that is prestigious in terms of research as Naomi. So anything that you're reading in this book that she has written, and it's all very handily, her parts are all written in pink, so she... we know that anything that you see in the book in pink is Naomi. And she also read all of my bit to make sure that I wasn't making any huge promises that weren't true. And then also in the book, we've got lots of experts and my partner. My partner's a hairstylist, and he talks about menopausal hair and how to treat that. I've got a makeup artist to talk about how to put face on a makeup on a menopausal face. And Caroline Hirons, a skincare specialist. And, of course, very importantly, a sex expert called Sam Evans, who can help not just with people with partners, but to help you rediscover yourself and your body.
Well, Davina, we have to finish shortly, but I just want to leave people with your advice and clearly exercise, and people will know that you're big into exercise and finding what you love to do and all of that. But you say, smile, hike up your bra straps, walk with purpose and don't groan.
Yes. I mean, don't groan when you bend over. You know that thing when you go to put on your socks and you go like that?
All the time.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Claire. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't do the groaning. Davina, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. And all of our listeners are getting in touch. They either have the book or they're getting the book. It's called Menopausing by Davina McCall with Dr. Naomi Potter. Good to talk to you, Davina. Let's go to the newsroom
now. Thank you so much for having me.
Tommy Mescal is in the newsroom.